I want to start off by reading from Psalm 43. You can follow, it will be there on the board as well. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do you go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to my God, my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre. And O God, my God, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Psalm 43, all five verses. It's almost the only scripture that I'm going to use today. But I believe the psalmist gives us a lot of information here, and he gives us a lot of help for me and for you. And I believe all of us that call ourselves Christians, you know, we've got a heart for the people around us. And many times, church, I think we find ourselves standing at the place where the psalmist was himself. Near in verse 1, we can see that there's circumstances, there's people. He fights a battle and he feels, listen, he's persecuted here. There's an ungodly people, nation, making life really difficult for him. And then we ask the question we always, all of us always ask and say, God, where are you in the circumstances? One of my pastor friends, he always, when we talk about circumstances or the road ahead, and he says, so what is God saying to us right now, right here? What does God say about the circumstances? And then here in verse 2, we see something, the psalmist obviously inspired by the Holy Spirit. We see it as God's word. And then he writes something where we can see something about a heart that is divided. And that is where I'm going to focus right now on. And I think in church and in over lots of counseling I've done over the years, that's where I see many people finding themselves at the same place as the psalmist here in verse 2. He says, for you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? That's a contradiction, okay? So basically, he's saying with his heart, he's saying with his head, God, I know you're a good God. We sang it just now. God, I know that you love me, etc. And that's from an objective, almost academic place. But in his heart, like God, it doesn't feel like that. From a subjective place, he says, but Lord, I don't feel like that. Lord, these people are making my life miserable. And this morning, you can just use your own circumstances, whatever they might be, and you can fill it in and say, God, the people at work, God, my finances, my family, my husband, my wife, my children, whatever. Because I know for a fact that all of us, and many of us even maybe today, face difficult things that's really making our life challenging. And here we see a man who really knows God. It's not a beginner Christian. It's someone who's already walking this road with God. But still, he says, God, in you I find refuge. But at the same time, he says, God, why have you forsaken me? You see, there's a divided heart. There's a divide right there in his soul. And people, if there's one thing that I can say to you, that one thing that I can say as a promise on the word of God, is whenever we draw near to God, he will draw near to us, no? Okay? There's that promise, there's that hand that God outstretched. Even, you know, many times I've seen this thing, if we sin, and we do a big sin, whatever in your own life, there's not big and small, but now you've sinned, okay? Now the devil actually, he sells another lie to you. Because what do we many times do? We feel so bad about ourselves or about what we did. We don't speak to God. Only the next morning we maybe start to repent. But God wants that heart in us. Whatever you have done right now or thought even, that you will do what David did and just be fast to repent and turn to God and ask for forgiveness. Because if the enemy can get you that place where you really feel terrible about yourself and what you did, now you even feel so bad you don't even want to speak to God. And then there's no reconciliation. It's better to be fast to repent. Now this man, the psalmist, and I believe I'm sure all of us, basically all of us here this morning, will be able to relate to this place of, God, I believe with all your heart that you are with me, but God, I don't feel like that. God, why does my circumstances say something else? And this is something that we see in Scripture in Mark 9, verse 24. We see the person, he says, I believe, help me with my unbelief. Doesn't make sense in a sense, eh? It's like, Lord Jesus, I believe, but at the same time, help me with my unbelief. I'm battling. We see here the great apostle Paul writing in Romans chapter 7, verse 19. He says, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Sometimes you must read that sentence two or three times just to hear what he's actually saying. But basically what he says, I know what I must do, and what I should do, I don't do, and that what I shouldn't do, I keep on doing. Now, what do we usually want to tell someone who's in that scenario? Hey man, just get your mind clear and stop messing around in a sense. You know it's the right thing, that just do it. It's not that easy, eh? It's almost like when you're a 16-year-old child full of energy, and now your father says to you, well, you just have to sit there and study for 3 hours for your test. It's like, yes, I know I must do it, but man, I don't feel like it. I don't want to do this, okay? And there we see the same battle right here in the heart of Paul. Now, the psalmist gives us some practical steps, and people, I'm going to share two very basic truths this morning, but I believe it's powerful. And I believe that, I would say 90% of 100% of us battle with that thing, especially at the end of the year when we are tired and we don't feel that much like fighting, you know, when we do need a little bit of help. God's grace has kept this man still at a place where he's not falling out of God's hand. God will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. Now, if we just think about our natural circumstances. Whenever we are persecuted, whenever we're facing a lot of difficulty, I mean, any person in almost every religion, I believe, will pray to their God to deliver them. Change your circumstances. Take whatever is making life miserable. Please take it away. I believe that's not a very spiritual thing. If there's a big dog chasing me, I don't care how old you are, what you believe in, but you want to be delivered from that scenario. The truth, that's not very spiritual. But let's see what we read here in Scripture. Let's see these things that's far deeper and more significant that the psalmist tells us here this morning. And the first thing he does is he speaks to God and he prays to God to lead him to God. Okay? Many times the first thing you want to do is ask God to change our circumstances. But here he says, God, let your light shine. Let me read you from verse 3 here. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill. Okay? So he says, let your light shine. Let your truth come. What does light do? Okay, we know that God is a God of light. We know the fight is always against evil and against darkness. So where there's no light, we can't see. Natural light brings revelation to our eyes. Natural light only helps us to see what is happening around us. But we know from Scripture, and I want to read you from here from Ephesians 1 verse 18, Paul is also writing there, and he says, may the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which you have been called. You see, that's that place where I said, when there's only natural light, it helps us to see our natural circumstances, those things that we are all familiar with. But there's a spirit man inside of every Christian that is alive. And that spirit man helps us to see spiritual things. So here the psalmist come, and so basically we can sum up and we can say, physical light help physical eyes see physical reality. Spiritual light, let spiritual eyes, the eyes of the heart, see spiritual reality. And there's a big thing to understand. Many times we are caught in our own circumstances, our own feelings. We get You know, I was just after the first service, I was praying with someone, and he was saying exactly that thing. He says he lies awake at night, and he's fighting, and he's fighting. And you know, here on the inside, it goes like this. We feel this here in our gut. We talk about the gut feeling. And here in our tummy, many times we feel the emotions, the things in life we are working through. Those things that is hard on us. But you see, he prays and he says, let your light shine. Because that light of the heart, where our light, sorry, not our light, our heart gets enlightened. It helps us to see spiritual reality. It helps us to give us a revelation. And that is that place where you pray with someone, you can even pray for yourself, and not just to see what's physically happening around us, but spiritually as well. Then in verse 4 he says, then I will go to the altar of joy, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Now you see, church, there's something that I think most of us have learned in life. You know, I've got my children, and you know, it's end of the year, and it's almost school holiday. I believe every child wants some sort of a gift, yeah, the end of the year, and I think many, many adults also want something at the end of the year. We say we've worked hard and we want to reward ourselves with something. Now, whenever you've prayed for something, whenever you've saved for something, and you get that something, then you're really excited about that thing for a while. Maybe you think back when you were a child. I think as children, sometimes we experience it a bit differently because they get so excited. You get that bicycle that you've wanted for so long, or a skateboard, or whatever that might be. And then when you receive that thing, you're so excited. And then after 3 or 4 days, you know, the excitement has worn off a little bit. And then after two or three weeks, it just becomes another thing in your life. Then after a while, you save again for something, pray for something, and you get it. And then what happens? You receive that thing you've wanted all your life. And then after a while, it's not that special anymore. It's hollow. You see, whatever in this life we are pursuing to try and fill a void, it will always be hollow in a sense, and it will burst like a bubble. We can think a special holiday will solve some of our problems, and maybe for a while it will. We think maybe an extra few Namibian dollars will solve a few problems. And yes, maybe for a while it will. And the list can go on and on. Most of you had many things you've desired in your life, and then you got it. And then after a week or a day or a month, you get to a place and you see, well, I've got this thing in my life now, and life just goes on. It can't give you an everlasting joy. There's something, and Ruan was saying it actually so beautifully, that we were designed for each other. We were made to give. It's more blessed to give than to receive. There's a spiritual something about that. And you see, church, there's something that I can say that might sound academic, but there's some place where I can say relationship with God, that our joy is in the Lord. That is our strength. We sang it just now. Now, whenever I talk about the joy of the Lord is our strength, I think about me and my wife when we were married for a short while, still living there in South Africa. And one night, you know, I heard a massive sound there somewhere in the house, and I was sure, okay, now someone is breaking in. So I jumped up and I ran down the stairs to go and look for what was happening there. And I went to all the windows, the doors, and I could find nothing wrong. When I walked back up the stairs, my wife had this huge painting that she made, and on it was painted, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Now, the joy of the Lord was a poster like that, not that size, and it just fell down the stairs, but it was still standing, upright, yes. And then I was so relieved, and I got back to the bed, and there my wife was laying stock stable, like Ampersay, you know. So in life, it's always nice to know who's fighting with you, and some animals have this defensive mechanism, they just play dead. And that night, I got to know, whenever if there's a fight at night, my wife is just going to play dead. That's her self-defense. But you see, the joy of the Lord, that's something I can tell you, and I can say, here it is. It's in Scripture. Whenever you open God's Word somewhere on a page, you can find it. Even when God is disciplining His children, He does it from a place of a father's heart. And it might not mean a lot to you. It might mean everything to you this morning, depending where you stand in terms of relationship with God. Now, here the psalmist, he says this thing. He says, God, you must vindicate me and everything. And then he says, for you are the God in whom I seek refuge. Why have you rejected me? You see, he's not a beginner Christian. He's not a young disciple. His words are here in Scripture. But still, he felt rejected. Still, he had this feeling that God has left him. Now, obviously, that is a lie. So what does he do? He goes on and he prays and he says, Lord, let your light shine on me. Let your truth come. Because what is truth? Scripture says the truth will set us free. It will help us to make sense. Now, there's something we need to hear. I also just prayed for a lady, and I can relate so much from my own life, and you might. And you might say, but Pastor or Carl, this morning, you don't know my circumstances. You don't know my life. You don't know what I'm facing right now. And you are just saying, trust in God and stand in relationship with God and my God's light shine on you. You don't know the mountain standing in front of me. And church, there's something called sin, unfortunately. And we live in many ways under the curse of sin. That means if someone drank a bottle of whiskey tonight and you get in your car and you drive and you're drunk and you drive into someone who didn't do anything wrong, that sin has consequences. Okay, so many times we face harsh and difficult circumstances in our life. It's not God's fault necessarily, or never it will be His fault. But you see, whenever we face circumstances like that, what does the psalmist do? He says, Lord, let your light shine and let I can see the truth. Because whatever we do in this life to try and ease the pain, maybe losing a loved one, maybe losing your job, maybe it wasn't your fault, maybe it's the company closing down or the economy, or maybe there's somewhere a broken relationship, something that's really tough. And usually we want to say, but how can a good God let these things, how can He allow it? We need to deal with that. And then we have that same feeling that the psalmist have. In his head, he knows God is my refuge. He's my safe place. But his heart battles to understand that thing. He's got a divided heart. And then he says that, you know, God should lead him to a place, as we were just now a few minutes ago, where we can stand, where we can worship, where we maybe you can lay on your face and just cry out to God. Cry out to God, listen to God. Because, as I said, if I know my wife, and she's, as I talked about this painting, and it says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's the truth. That's really the truth. I want to read you the words of C.S. Lewis. And he said on one of his commentaries of the Psalms, he says, we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. You know, and that is where, you know, think about children, just because the example is always so beautiful. When they get something new, or they maybe a friend at school give them something, what do? They come and run firstly to you, and they say, they show you, see what mom has bought me, or see what grandfather has given me. They want to show you. And part of the joy when we receive something is to show it to other people. See how blessed I am. I don't. And then you can fill in whatever you want to. That's part of the joy. And when you mature, you can actually rejoice on behalf of your friends. If you're really a jealous person, you will hate the fact that they received something and you're like, why didn't I get something? But if my family, people I love, or even people I hate, I'm supposed to, you know, receive something amazing, then I can say, I'm glad with you. Okay? And that's that thing, the joy of the Lord. That's that thing I can say to you, you should feel like that. But if you're not feeling like that, what do you do? Lord, let your light shine on me, and Lord, bring the truth. Let me see Jesus, let me see God, and in God, sharing that thing as I use the words of C.S. Lewis, you will get to a place, because we were designed to enjoy God. We were designed to enjoy God. Eternity already started here. The spirit inside of us is eternal. Okay? We're not going to get a different spirit when we die. It's a spirit that we already have. And there's something in that. And this picture here on the side, it's that small, in the center of the picture, the small hand holding on to the big hand. That's something about what I want to say this morning. It's something about holding on to God, finding our joy in Him. Everything in this life that we will try and use or abuse, many times we are people, all of us, or people, we are so caught up in consuming different things and trying to fill a gap, trying to fill a need. And that will start to show. Whatever you abuse in life, it will show on your body. It will show in your soul. Okay? But when we go to God and we say, God, you are my exceeding joy. Being a man like David, dancing around. Last week we had the opportunity for the church to attend the school of worshiping, learning how it works to worship God. And there's exchange always happening. You know, putting for a spirit of heaviness to put on a garment of praise, starting to worship God, and something in our hearts will always start to change. The psalmist here, he knows in his head that God has not forsaken him, but he feels like God has. So his deepest strategy to escape the most dangerous situation is to pray. He prayed that God's light should shine on him, and that the truth will help him and it will set him free. And then something else that he does that is really, I'm not into, you know, many times we talk about self-help books and many ways to help you with your own circumstances and, you know, to fix a few things. And I'm really not into that, because I believe only lasting change can come through the Spirit of God. Romans 12 verse 2, where he talks about the renewing of the mind, and whenever God is doing a change or an exchange in our hearts, that's only from God. But you see, this was the first part, praying about the light shining us, finding our joy in worshiping God. And the second thing he does is he actually speaks to his soul. Now listen to this. Let me read you from verse 5. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Our soul, Mark and Christine and all the Bible school third years, we spend a lot of time also understanding that, because why Scripture says we are body, soul and spirit. Okay, soul is all our emotions. And here the psalmist says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Okay, now here is something you need to understand. Our spirit man inside of us rule over our flesh. That God part rules over the flesh. And he's now standing here, and it's this divided heart that he's experiencing once again. The part of saying, God, in you I find my refuge. Oh God, why have you forsaken me? He's fighting this thing. He says, oh, why, my soul, why are you feeling so negative? Why are you cast down? And here's the next practical step. First, it was to pray to God. And second, it is to preach to yourself. Preach to yourself. I want to start to end off there, because I want to read a part to you from a pastor, Martin Lloyd-Jones, and it's basically a commentary that he writes here on Psalm 43, and just listen to the words that he used. He was a medical doctor, a guy from London, pastor as well, and he describes the importance of preaching to ourselves. Now, I'm for church, I'm for family, I'm for small group, I'm for all those things. So whenever we battle, whenever we have a tough time, phone a friend, go to someone and say, listen, I don't even have the strength to pray for myself, but can you? But there's also a place to preach to ourselves. This conflicted heart, this divided soul, just listen to these beautiful words and powerful words that he uses here. He says, have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Take those thoughts that come to you the moment when you wake up in the morning. You have not originated them, but they are talking to you. They bring back the problems of yesterday. Somebody is talking. Who is talking to you? Yourself. Your soul. Yourself is talking to you. Now this man's treatment, now here he talks about the psalmist in Psalm 43, he says, was this. Instead of allowing the self to talk to himself, he starts talking to himself. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, he asks. He's having this conversation with himself. His soul had been depressing him, crushing him. So he stands up and says, self, listen for a moment, I will speak to you. Okay, and I believe that is good advice. Firstly, he went to God. He said, God, let your light shine, let your truth come, and let the eyes of my heart, let those eyes see, not just my physical eyes. Lord, show me about you, show me about my circumstances. Then we get to this place of really getting excited and where we can just jump into the joy of the Lord and rejoice in that. And then secondly, he says, self, I'm going to stand up now and I'm going to preach to you. You better listen to me because the spirit man inside of me, it rules over my soul. It rules over my flesh. That is something eternal. We just sang there, I think it was the third song, the spirit of the Lord is with inside me or something. JP, you can find the words then, you can put it up for us. But that needs to submit, that words, that the words that you speak, it has to listen, okay? Your soul part needs to respect and listen to the spirit man inside of you. And you know, church, there's no silver bullet in life. There's no a step 1, 2, 3 in the flesh where we can just go out and say, well, when you feel like this, you do just ABC and you will be happy again. Happiness doesn't last, okay? The joy in the Lord is something different. And I want to say to you this morning, no matter what circumstances you face, God usually doesn't just take our circumstances away. Usually doesn't just do that. He rather equips us, or he gives us the strength to face our circumstances. If you're really down and out, just pray a prayer and say, God, raise people to pray for me right now. Because prayer is powerful. And that will help us many times to look different to the things that we face. I love this word, his words. Self, listen for a moment, I will speak to you. All those voices when you woke up, when it says, I fear this day, I don't feel good about myself, I fear that I will be alone, I fear that I'm not good enough. Words that maybe a figure in your life, teacher, a father, a grandparent, or someone, a friend maybe even, spoke into your heart, into that vulnerable place and said, you will never be good enough. You will never be strong enough. You will never be a good father. You will never be a good leader. Those rhetoric, those words that you woke up every morning or sometimes in a certain season in your life, those words where the enemy comes and he says, you will never make it. You will lose this and you will lose that. Stand up. Preach to yourself. Say to yourself, you're going to listen now. I'm going to speak life. I'm going to speak the words of God over my own life. And I'm going to speak it in the circumstances. Nothing is more important in your mind than preaching the gospel to yourself. Preaching hope will, when all your circumstances are preaching despair. And church, I've seen this thing so many times. I've experienced it many times in my own life. I've seen it many times in counseling, where we stand with one foot almost at the place where we say in our hearts, God, I know you for 20 years. I know that you're a faithful, good God. But Lord, why have you forsaken me? Why don't I feel you right now in my life? Why are you allowing people to pest me and to make life miserable and difficult? The psalmist went and he said, Lord, here in verse 3, send out your life and your truth. Let them lead me. And then he said, he will go to the altar of God, his exceeding joy, and they will praise God. And that is when we testify. So usually to preach the gospel, we actually must be self-propelled. There's a tank called the joy of the Lord in our hearts. And when that tank is full, it's when we go to friends and people and neighbors and we say, God is good all the time. And then, amen, and praise God. And we can live from that thing forever. Every mechanism, everything that we built into our lives to try and make us happy or fill a void, it will be like this thing. It will be hollow on the inside. It will like be a massive bubble, and sometime it will either burst or lose its power. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And especially here at the end of the year, when many of us feel maybe cast down or heavy or tired, or maybe you're not sure or fearful about next year or what about future, what the future will hold for us, then we need to get back to this place and we say, Lord, like Paul said in Ephesians 1 verse 18, Lord, this eyes of my heart, let those eyes, the spiritual eyes, let them see, and then you preach to your soul. Can I pray for us? Lord Jesus, we worship you, Father God, and Father, you created us, Lord, that you will, for eternity, Lord God, you will be enough for us. Father, we will stand in eternity before you, Lord God, and we will be able to worship you for eternity, because you're a good God, you're a holy God, Lord, you are infinite, Lord God. And Father, thank you that in this lifetime, Lord God, here on earth, that you have made us, Lord God, to crave you, to desire God, Lord. Father, whenever we go through a day without connecting to you, spending time in your presence, Lord, we will feel an emptiness. And Father, that if it goes on, Lord, that emptiness will become a dry period in our lives. And Father, not very long, then we will say, Lord, why have you forsaken us? But Lord, it's never you have forsaken us, Lord. It's all the time us, Lord, in our flesh, that we start to follow the world, to follow ourselves, or we believe a lie that we're too busy to spend time with you, Lord. But especially, Lord God, when circumstances are tough and life is hard, Lord, then we need to come to you, Lord God, when our knees can't carry us anymore, Father, then that when we don't know the direction anymore, oh Lord, that we can pray with the psalmist, Lord God, and we can say, Lord, send your light and your truth. Let them lead me, Father, and it will always lead us to you. It will never lead us to something else. That light and that truth lead us to a place where we can just worship you and proclaim that you're a good God, that you are Father God, and that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Father, I pray that we will start to preach the gospel to ourselves, that we will stand up in the morning and silence those accusations, silence those voices that's speaking to us, that's ministering death to us, Lord, that we will quiet them, that our spirit man, we will build him, that we will exercise him, Father, that we will feed him, that he can be the strongest part in our lives, that he can stand up and say, quiet and peace to our soul, that our soul will react to that, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that when that happens, Lord, we can raise our hands, Lord God, that we can worship you. And Father, that you made us to experience your goodness, that we can experience joy in just having a relationship, reading scripture, looking off the world that you've created all around us, the people, all the beautiful things that you've given us, Lord God, that we can rejoice in that and say that our God is great, that you are Savior, Father, that we don't have to fear death anymore, that our salvation is in you. I thank you for the Psalms, Lord God, and that it's created and written, Lord God, to guide us, to give us advice, Lord, that we will follow you, preach the gospel to ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to have an invitation this morning for any person standing here and where maybe you believe so many lies right now about your own circumstances, about how you feel about yourself, how you look at the future, anything like that. And I would love to pray with you. Sometimes we get to a place where we are so tired that you can only say, God, may someone pray for me. So if there's people here this morning and you feel maybe, as the psalmists say here, why are your soul so cast down? I would love to pray with you. but I want to send you home this day with a lot of hope. Go and read Psalm 43 once again. There's many other psalms that are just as powerful and beautiful. And then you ask God that His light and His truth will lead you, that it will guide you, and that you, that we can preach to ourselves, and that, you know, that our flesh has to respond, our soul has to respond to our spirit, man. May God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. And if there's anyone here this morning and you really feel that you need to pray, well, you can pray with someone next to you, but I would love to pray with you this morning. Otherwise, have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week. Same time and same place.